You probably have a dozen tabs open in your brain right now.
Oh, at least. Probably more like 20 on a good day.
Right. I mean, you read a piece on inflation, then you swipe over to a breakdown of a new AI language model, and then you follow it up with an article on the water crisis in agriculture.
Just a light morning reading list.
Exactly. And you are taking in all this high-level information, but it just sits in your head as these completely isolated data points.
Because we're trained to view the world through these strict, separate verticals.
Yeah, like economics is over here, biology is over there, and computer science is in its own walled garden.
Right.
But navigating the modern world that way is like trying to understand how a car engine works by only looking at the spark plugs. Today, we are pulling back to look at the entire engine for this deep dive.
I love that analogy.
We are looking at a snapshot from the homepage of a Danish knowledge platform called Thinkiverse. And they operate on this very specific premise that those isolated verticals are an illusion.
Which is a bold claim.
Totally. They argue that the real mechanisms driving our world exist entirely in the intersections.
And it is a radical way to map out information, especially when you look at the specific subjects they are indexing on the site. I mean, the source material shows a platform placing civilization-level threats right next to highly specialized biological categories.
Right, the juxtaposition is wild.
It really is. You have nuclear weapons and artificial intelligence sharing the exact same navigational space as insects, fungus, and bacteria.
Yeah.
For anyone used to traditional news curation, it looks chaotic. You sort of have to ask, why is a niche biological organism given the same structural weight as global finance?
Right, and that perceived chaos is exactly what we are going to untangle for you today, because we aren't going to focus on the obvious heavy-hitting topics like nuclear security right out of the gate.
We could, but we're going a different route.
Yeah, we are going to use one of those seemingly niche biological categories as a master key to unlock how these massive global systems actually interact. We are diving into a recently published article from their site focused entirely on bats.
Bats, which forces a completely different analytical framework right away.
How so?
Well, we have to look at bats not as a wildlife conservation topic, but as an active component in a larger industrial machine. The platform's mission explicitly states that insights emerge where different fields intersect.
Like they're mashing things together on purpose.
Exactly. They're treating these subjects like open APIs in a software ecosystem. You cannot understand the output of the finance API without seeing how the biology API is feeding data into it.
Okay, let's test that API metaphor with the specific article that caught our attention. It was published on July 20th, 2026, and the title is The Secret Role of Bats in Slashing Pesticide Dependence in Agriculture.
A fascinating title.
It is, but I need to push back on this premise immediately.
Go for it.
When we talk about global agriculture and pesticide dependence, we are talking about a multi-billion dollar chemical engineering industry.
Oh, massive.
We're talking about global supply chains, heavy extraction, petroleum-based fertilizers, massive diesel infrastructure. How does a nocturnal mammal become a structural replacement for an industrial chemical supply chain?
It sounds a bit naive, right?
It sounds like an environmentalist pipe dream, not a viable economic stratagem.
I get that. It sounds like a pipe dream if you assume the only way to solve an industrial problem is with a louder, heavier industrial solution. But look at the specific verb in that title.
Slashing.
Yes, slashing pesticide dependence. It doesn't say supplementing, it doesn't say slightly reducing.
Right?
Slashing implies a systemic replacement. See, the chemical pesticide industry operates on a brute force mechanism. You manufacture a synthetic toxin, ship it across the world, spray it indiscriminately over thousands of acres.
And just hope for the best.
Right. Hope you kill the pest without completely destroying the soil microbiome or poisoning the local aquifer. It is a highly inefficient, high-friction system.
Not to mention an incredibly expensive ongoing operational cost for the farmer. I mean, they have to buy that chemical every single season.
Yes.
It's basically a subscription model for crop survival.
That is a perfect way to put it. Now, contrast that brute force chemical mechanism with the biological mechanism of the bat.
Oh.
A single colony of insectivorous bats can consume tons of insects in a single night.
Tons. That's just crazy to think about.
But it's not just the sheer volume of consumption that matters. It is the targeted disruption of the pest's reproductive cycle.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, bats are foraging exactly when these agricultural pests, like the corn earworm moth, for instance, are taking flight to mate and lay eggs.
Ah, timing is everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By intercepting the adult moths before they reproduce, the bats are exponentially reducing the next generation of caterpillars that would actually eat the crop.
So instead of a chemical plant manufacturing synthetic poison, the bats are acting as self-replicating autonomous pest control drones.
Drones that feed themselves.
Right. They require zero supply chain logistics. They run on the very pests they are eliminating. And their byproduct, guano, is actually a high-yield natural fertilizer rather than some toxic runoff that requires environmental remediation.
And that is exactly why bats shares top billing with information technology on this platform.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
The platform is demanding that we reframe our definition of technology entirely. For the last century, our approach to agricultural scaling has been purely chemical.
We treated biology as the problem and chemistry as the solution.
Beautifully said. But this intersection suggests that an ancient, naturally evolved biological mechanism is actually vastly superior, both economically and environmentally, to our modern chemical infrastructure.
Okay, let's follow that mechanism further, because this is where the API integrations really start to fire off.
Let's do it.
You look at the list of categories on Thinkiverse, right? Bats, insects, plants, environment, pollution, health, and finance.
All in a row.
In a traditional news diet, you would read about those topics in separate magazines. But let's look at the systemic cascade triggered by simply integrating bats into the agricultural model.
The domino effect.
Yeah.
So the initial interaction is biological. Bats consume the insects.
Right.
That protects the plants, which maintains the crop yields.
Right. But the secondary effect is where it jumps verticals. Because the crop is protected biologically, the farmer stops buying and spraying the synthetic chemicals.
That is huge.
You immediately trigger a massive reduction in the pollution category. We aren't just talking about less poison on the food. We are talking about stopping the nitrogen and
the phosphorus runoff.
Yeah, exactly. The runoff that causes dead zones in local water systems.
Which then directly alters the health category.
Oh, sure.
You are drastically reducing the occupational hazard for the agricultural workers who previously had to handle those toxic chemicals, while simultaneously lowering the chemical residue for the end consumer.
And finally, it hits the finance category. The fundamental economic risk profile of the farm changes.
Yes, the business model shifts.
The farmer goes from a massive, recurring operational expense, you know, buying pesticides every quarter, to a model where the pest control is essentially a free, naturally replenishing utility.
It's incredible. And think about it from Wall Street's perspective. If you are a financial analyst trying to predict the quarterly earnings of a massive agrochemical corporation, and you're only looking at the finance and agriculture categories, you are going to be completely blindsided by a drop in sales.
Right. You would have no idea that a biological organism was actively disrupting the chemical market.
That is the danger of siloed thinking, and it's what Thinkiverse is structurally fighting against. If you ignore the bats category, you fail at the finance category.
It's all connected.
The interconnectedness is the only thing that matters. And you see this exact same cross-disciplinary reframing applied to human biology on the platform as well.
You mean the neurodiversity articles?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that was super interesting. The site features titles like The Hidden Struggles of Neurodiverse People, directly alongside How Does Autism Enhance Deep Subject Immersion? And How does ADHD improve focus in emergencies?
Again, they are placing human psychology right next to categories like security, finance, and productivity.
Let's break down the mechanics of that, because the ADHD example is fascinating when you look at it through a systems lens rather than, you know, a clinical lens.
Right.
The standard corporate structure, the traditional finance or IT vertical views ADHD as a deficit.
Usually, yeah.
It's viewed as a failure to maintain linear focus in a standard low stimulation office environment. But the article title asks how it improves focus in emergencies.
Which requires looking at the evolutionary biology of the neurodivergent brain.
Walk us through that.
So individuals with ADHD often have a lower baseline level of dopamine. In a mundane, understimulating environment, the brain is constantly seeking external stimulation just to reach a functional baseline, which looks like distraction to an outside observer.
Like tapping a foot, checking a phone.
Exactly. But introduce a high-stakes emergency, a crisis that triggers a massive flood of adrenaline and dopamine, and the ADHD brain suddenly hits an optimal stimulation level.
Wow.
While a neurotypical brain might become overwhelmed and shut down by the sudden spike in stress chemicals, the ADHD brain experiences sudden, intense clarity, and calm.
It's a completely different cognitive architecture.
It is.
So in an emergency management scenario or a rapid response cybersecurity breach, that neurodivergent trait isn't a deficit at all. It is an incredibly valuable biological asset.
Precisely. But if a company's HR or management systems only view psychology through a rigid traditional lens, they will try to medicate or manage away the very trait that could save the company during a crisis.
Wow. That's exactly the same way traditional agriculture tried to chemically manage away the natural ecosystems that could have controlled the pests.
Yes, you nailed it. The platform is showing us that whether we are talking about biological diversity in an ecosystem or cognitive diversity in a workforce, attempting to force a rigid artificial monoculture usually creates more fragile, failure-prone systems.
That concept of fragile, centralized systems versus resilient natural systems, it seems to bleed into how the platform handles energy and infrastructure, too.
It definitely does.
Looking at the source material, there are two prominent titles in the energy sector. There's Challenges in Scaling Up Power to X and The Grid's Achilles Heel, Why Nuclear Can't Weather the Storm Alone.
Let's unpack the mechanisms behind those energy challenges, because they highlight the exact limitations of pure technological thinking we've been discussing.
Yeah, so for those listening who might not be deep in the energy sector, Power to X is essentially a technology meant to solve the intermittency problem of renewable energy.
Because the wind isn't always blowing.
Right, and the sun isn't always shining. So when you have a surplus of renewable energy, you use that electricity to power electrolysis, splitting water into hydrogen, or synthesizing ammonia the X in Power to X. You basically convert electrical power into a storable chemical fuel.
And on paper, I mean, it sounds like a perfect technological loop.
Totally.
But the article title highlights the challenges in scaling up. The thermodynamic reality of Power to X is that every time you convert energy from one state to another, from solar to electrical, from electrical to hydrogen, from hydrogen back to electrical, you lose a massive percentage of that energy to heat and inefficiency.
Yeah, basic physics.
Right. It requires building colossal centralized infrastructure to capture and convert energy. You're essentially trying to force a natural resource into an industrial bottleneck.
And then you have the nuclear grid article, Why Nuclear Can't Weather the Storm Alone.
Another centralized system.
Exactly. Nuclear provides a massive, stable baseload of zero-carbon energy, but modern power grids are facing unprecedented volatility from extreme weather events, you know, storms knocking out transmission lines or freezing cooling water supplies.
Yeah.
A nuclear plant is a massive centralized node. If a storm takes down the transmission infrastructure connecting that node to a city, it doesn't matter how much power the reactor is generating, the grid fails.
Because both Power to X and traditional nuclear rely on highly centralized, technologically heavy, top-down infrastructure.
They're the heavy chemical pesticides of the energy world.
That's a great comparison. They are powerful, but they are rigid. If one part of the supply chain or transmission line breaks, the whole system goes offline.
Which brings us right back to the bats.
Full circle.
Biological systems don't build massive centralized nodes that fail catastrophically if a single wire is cut. They build decentralized, highly adaptable networks. The bats aren't centrally managed by a CEO bat.
Really, they are not.
They respond dynamically to localized spikes in insect populations. They scale naturally.
And that biological decentralization is the perfect pivot to the final set of articles we need to examine today.
Oh, the digital infrastructure stuff.
Yes, because if the energy grid is struggling with centralization, our digital infrastructure is facing an existential threat from it.
Yeah, let's look at the articles published on Thinkiverse around the same time as the Bat piece. On June 19th, they published AI chatbot disasters. And then a month later, on July 25th, they published The Emerging Role of Rogue AI in Cybersecurity and Its Unprecedented Threats.
Terrifying topics.
The threat model of a rogue AI is terrifying precisely because our current digital security is so centralized. If an autonomous learning algorithm decides to breach a network, it doesn't attack like a traditional human hacker probing one firewall at a time.
Right, it doesn't need to sleep.
It can simultaneously analyze millions of lines of code, find zero-day vulnerabilities across a massive digital supply chain, and execute a coordinated breach in milliseconds. And our response. We are trying to build higher and higher digital walls to keep it out.
We are trying to solve a technology problem with more technology.
Exactly.
But based on the entire philosophy of this platform, where should we actually be looking for the solution to securing a complex autonomous network?
We should be looking sideways. We should be looking at the biological categories.
Exactly. The source material lists fungus and bacteria alongside information technology.
Fungus and cybersecurity. I mean, that sounds crazy until you really think about it.
Let's look at the mechanism of a mycelial network. These are the underground fungal structures that connect entire forests.
Right, the wood wide web.
Exactly. It is a vast, decentralized communication and resource sharing system. There is no central server. If a massive section of the forest is destroyed by fire, the mycelial network doesn't collapse.
It just adapts.
It instantly reroutes nutrients and chemical signals through alternative pathways. It is infinitely redundant and practically impossible to take down with a localized attack.
Or look at how bacteria operate. You mentioned quorum sensing before. That is essentially a biological consensus mechanism.
It is.
A single bacterium doesn't have a brain, but it releases chemical signaling molecules called autoinducers. As the bacterial population grows, the concentration of these molecules increases.
Right.
And when it hits a specific threshold, a quorum, the entire population simultaneously alters its gene expression to act as a unified collective. It's how they form protective biofilms or launch an infection.
It is decentralized decision-making without a central processing unit. Every individual node is independently verifying the state of the network.
It's mind-blowing.
It is. And if we look at the threat of rogue AI in cybersecurity, perhaps the answer isn't building a stronger centralized digital firewall that a smarter AI can eventually crack.
Right, because the AI will just outsmart the wall.
Exactly. Perhaps the solution requires fundamentally restructuring our digital architecture to mimic quorum sensing or mycelial networks. A network where security isn't a wall, but an emergent property of millions of independent nodes requiring decentralized biological-style consensus before allowing any systemic change.
That is the ultimate realization of this entire deep dive. We started with an article about bats eating insects on a farm, and we have arrived at the architectural blueprints for defending global cybersecurity against rogue artificial intelligence.
The mechanics are the exact same, just applied to different mediums.
The platform really forces you to abandon the illusion that your specific area of expertise contains all the answers.
Because it doesn't. The solutions to our escalating technological crises are likely already functioning, perfectly debugged, and field-tested by billions of years of evolutionary biology. We just haven't been looking at the right categories.
You cannot just consume the news anymore. You have to actively cross-reference it.
Right.
When you see a crisis in the finance vertical, you have to ask how the ecology vertical is driving it.
Absolutely.
When a massive tech infrastructure fails, you have to look at how an ancient biological system solved that exact same scaling problem a million years ago. The world isn't a collection of isolated subjects. It's a single, massive, intersecting system.
And that leaves you with a profound question to walk away with today.
Let's hear it.
We've seen how integrating a biological API bats can slash our dependence on toxic centralized agriculture. We've hypothesized how biological APIs like fungal networks and bacterial quorum sensing could theoretically secure our decentralized digital future.
Right.
So look around at the massive, seemingly unsolvable crises dominating the headlines in your own industry today. Are you trying to solve those problems by forcing a rigid, top-down technological solution? Or is there a quiet, efficient biological mechanism out there, completely outside your field of expertise, that already holds the master key?
Wow. The answers are out there, usually hiding in the categories we've been trained to ignore. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of information. Stop reading the headlines in isolation, start looking for the intersections, and we will catch you next time.